have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, begin to clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Yeah. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. This is the day I've got joy. I've got joy.
Everybody lift him higher. Everybody praise his name. you tonight, amen, tuning in to this podcast. And let us see tonight who else is here with us on tonight. I want to go out to East St. Louis. I feel like having a game fight tonight. I'm going out to East St. Louis, amen, to that show me state. And I want to know, is Kimmy Kim online tonight?
Kimmy Kim is in the building.
All right, glad to have you tonight. I think you should give yourself a hand clap. I don't know how you All right, let me see if I can ride a little further on that side of the U.S. of A. I feel like having me some corn pudding, so let me stop in Indianapolis, Indiana, amen, the corn capital, and see if somebody is making corn pudding tonight. Amen. Pastor Henderson, are you on the line? All right. She must have ate that poison apple. She's sleeping tonight. Glory to God. All right. Let me keep on traveling down the road. Let me see if this Turk Kinkle guy is back in place. Amen. Him and his wife been away this weekend. Lord have mercy. They left with suitcases. I don't know what they came back with. Hallelujah. Amen. But we thank God. Bishop-elect. Amen. Richard, are you on the line tonight?
I'm pregnant.
Oh, my God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. His wife done did it to him. Lord have mercy.
No, it just backfired. It just backfired, and they're going to have to do a C-section.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Not a C-section, but an E-section. No, in all sincerity. The blessing of the Lord be upon you all who are listening. And unfortunately, social media is not being done on my end tonight. I'm hoping somebody else is doing it. But thank you for allowing me to be here today.
The Lord bless you, my brother. Glad you.
Thank you.
You made it back safely.
I'm still pregnant.
All right. I'm going further down the way. I'm going down in that Southland where they grow peaches. Amen. Where they have two-leg peaches, amen. And then also down there in that town, amen, they got what is called the soul food restaurant. They got barbecue pancakes, chitlins, or wrinkle steak for those of us who are a little more mature. Amen. And then they got corn. They got cornbread and they got fritters. Lord have mercy. Apostle are you on here tonight?
Does it mean a thing if it ain't got that swing? I do up, do up, do up, do up, do up, do up, do up. I be here. The Lord bless you. Now, I must admit that I'm not doing social media. I'm looking at the scripture. So please excuse me, but I'm certainly glad to be here on The Voice, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in Jesus' name.
All right, all right.
Hallelujah.
I believe that's everybody. If you're on the line and I don't know it, or if you're on the line and you would like to recognize yourself, please do so at this time. We're so glad to have you with us. All right, silence seems like it's giving consent, or you couldn't touch the mute button fast enough. But we're glad to have you with us. If you feel like joining us verbally, just hit your mute button and come in as we're going along. Amen. Bishop-elect, give us our opening prayer. Apostle Whitlow, get ready with our scripture.
Let us pray. Precious Father, it's in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we take this opportunity and chance to come before you yet again. God, how merciful you have been to allow us to rise this morning and see a completed day from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. And God, in the midst of all of it, give your name praise, glory, and honor. Now, God, we've come to this point and part of the day where we want to surrender yet again, God, and just give this radio show back into your hands, back into your charge, back into your care. Father God, we evict every disturbing, distracting, disruptive, deceptive spirit that may try to creep in, however it may try to come. We cancel the plans of the enemy. We hand him his papers and tell him to get the H out now in the name of Jesus. We bless you, God, for what you're about to do, because we just got this thing in our spirit that when two or three are gathered together in your name, we know you're already in the midst. And so, God, we give in to you here and now. God, we want you to have your way. We need you, God, to do what you need to do, that those who are listening may be ministered to, God, brought out, delivered, set free, healed, chains broken, fetters destroyed, yokes destroyed because of your name. We thank you for the work that you're going to do. Thank you for giving us the right words at the right time for the right people and the right purpose. God, we look forward to seeing you do that which you said you were able to do, because your word tells us that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And God, if you take all these minds that are on this show right here, right now, and take our ability to think and put it together, we could never match what you have the ability to do. So with that being said, we release ourselves to you to do what you need to do in through each and every one of us. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer.
Bless you.
Give us that Genesis scripture, and then we'll build our case and rise from it.
All right. Our scripture tonight, Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Read in your hearing, Genesis 5:21-24, the word of God for the people of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let me try to lay a little foundation before we get going. Amen. And everybody listen tonight, I want you to know before I get going that you will hear tonight some things that's going to ignite your spirit. So I want to warn you ahead of time, but that you hear, do not run to church on Sunday and hit your pastor upside the head. I don't want nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. Because there's some pertinent information getting ready to come your way tonight. Amen. And I want you to be blessed and receive it. And we're going to talk on a subject tonight. How do you get to the supernatural? How do you get to the supernatural? Now let me warn all preachers that may be listening in. There's going to be a lot of good stuff in this tonight. And I know you're going to be ready with your pens and paper and all that. But I want to tell you something. Anything you preach from this podcast tonight you definitely better pray about it, because it's going to take revelation, not just information, to deal with this subject matter that we're dealing with tonight, especially in the way it's going to be dealt with. Hallelujah. Now, for the last month, I've been taking time to give you a scenario, but we will not tonight. We're going straight into our lesson and discussion, and so get yourself ready. God's about to blow your mind. Hallelujah. All right, so in this scripture tonight, it says that age 65, Enoch produced Methuselah. Now, in our day and hour, you're just about talking about a supernatural event already. A man 65 making a baby. Now, I need you to know that at that day and hour, 65 was like a 19, 20-year-old. Because the time of life was much longer and much different than what we know now. So remember, when you hear that age, do not think in our time. You must think about back in that time, he was a young man making a baby with his wife. But the Bible says that, let me throw something else at that, y'all, a little further. There's also another man by the name of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Who the Bible says he made a baby at 99 years old. Now, everybody tries to take off in that story because the Lord promised him a child at age 75. But much like Enoch, he was a young man. And I'm going to throw something out there for free tonight. Please stop preaching that Abraham was old and couldn't do nothing. I believe that is a text error, because if he was old and couldn't do nothing, then I want to know where Isaac came from. I'm going to leave
Thank
that
you.
Alone. Hallelujah. Now, getting back to Enoch, I just brought him here to show you that it was God doing something in that hour. Men of that age were young and strong and still had ability to produce. That's what I was getting after. And so at age 65, only did he have his son Methuselah. But the Bible says at age 65, he began to walk with God. Somebody, before we go any further, somebody talk to me about what's been said so far. Oh,
I think to myself, I think to myself two things. One, at the age of 65, this man still had some spunk to be able to produce. I don't think, and according to what the scriptures say, he didn't need Viagra or Cialis or anything else. That's one. The other thing, being 65, The Bible says he walked with God. You are never too old to walk with God. You are never too old to walk with God. I'm going to hold it right there before I get too happy.
Well, I like that you put those two things out there. Of course, he didn't have to see Alice, be Alice, take Alice, or have Alice. We know that. But, you know, and you already made mention of the fact that 65 then was equivalent to 20 in this day and age. But the one thing I do notice that, and if I could take anything away from what you just said, walking in the supernatural, we tend to mystify it from time to time, when all we have to really recognize is the fact that God will take our natural and add his super to it, and therefore cause us to do what we would call the extraordinary, not the extraordinary, just the extraordinary. And in Enoch's case, at 65 years of age, and let me say this too while I'm there, and I'll move on. Most men, for some strange reason, get in their mind that when they get to a certain age, the soldiers can't march. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Men, although we may not be like we were when we were 15, 18, 20, 22, 25, up to around 40, 45 this day and age, our soldiers can march. The question is, how active are you? I like to believe that God was very instrumental in giving Enoch the strength to even to produce Methuselah, because we ain't even talked about Mrs. Enoch. We don't know how old she was. And I found nothing on it as to her age. I'll assume that she was a few years younger than him, because they did used to marry him between 9 to 12 years younger. I'm going to leave that right there.
All right. Now, Kim, you got anything you want to throw at us?
Well, I just want to concur with her earnestly said. I agree with what was said. And to add, basically, I know that the word tells us that, you know, there are times that God just surprises us with so many wonderful things about the Bible. And that is one of them that Ernest Richard just said. And so I am ready for the discussion, and I'm going to pass on the torch.
Okay, so now let me show y'all something. It said at age 65, why would the Bible use the terminology he began to walk with God? He didn't say that 65, he gave his heart to the Lord. He didn't say at age 65, he began to seek the Lord.
Mm-mm.
It said at age 65, he began to walk with the Lord. So what in the world is the Bible saying in this terminology he began to walk with God?
Let's look at the word walk. And when we talk about the word walk, naturally speaking, us Westerners especially, you're looking at a motion that takes you from point A to point B. And I'd like to believe that in the Hebrew text, that word walk means that he began to line up with, to get in line with. He began to, and I guess the best way to say it is when a couple can tell when they're that close together, when they can start a sentence and you can finish it. That's a natural analogy to a spiritual truth. When we begin to walk with God, even in our day and age, it's not, there's no difference in it. In our day and age, when we begin to walk with God, we can hear some of his thoughts. We, by our spirit, know what direction to go in. what direction to avoid, what, you know, and there are times, and I know this is, I'm not the only one that's ever been through this, so I'm going to say this and then I'm going to stop because I know the others have something they want to throw in there. There are times when God will speak, and the illumination, the revelation, and all that he brings in that moment is so mind-boggling, it causes you to stop and to think. And at the right time, in the right place, the right space with the right people, God will give you the very thing he revealed to you. Now you know you're walking with him. I'm going to stop right there.
I think it tells us that he began to walk with God, and I think what it is that perhaps he had gotten to a place in his life where he realized whatever he was doing wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just me. Whatever he was doing wasn't working, so he decided there was a need to change his life. And somebody is listening right now. Something in your life is not working. Take this as a hint. This is your opportunity to change your life.
Yes.
And also, I like what you both said. And when I think about that analogy at 65, it also tells me that he tried other things and it didn't work. And so he realized that walking with God is the only way, because as you become more and more mature on this life and you try to manage your life yourself, you know that you can't, because it's a God's job. And so when I think about that particular sentence, that is what comes to my mind. He began to realizing that he cannot make it without him, so he wanted an intimacy, and he stopped doing all the playing. You know, for me, it kind of reminds me of how I realized that you can't walk with God without a true dedication and commitment. And so walking with God allows him to understand that God must be the head of your life. God must be the person who is guiding you to all truth and to all knowing. And so that is what comes to my mind as well. As also what Apostle Irvin Whitlow and Bishop Emmett Ernest Richards said, that would be what I would say too.
Can I propose something to y'all tonight? Said, and Enoch walked with God. Isn't there a scripture over there in the New Testament that told us that we walk by faith?
Yep.
And not by sight. And so when the Bible uses the phrase that Enoch began to walk with God, Enoch walked out of a life of sin straight into a full-scale faith relationship with God. Uh-oh.
I would agree with that.
He walked out of sin straight into a faith relationship with God that was so strong. I ain't going to go ahead myself, but I want you to understand the Bible says, know ye not that ye are saved? How? Through faith. So Enoch walked straight out of a life of sin into the faith of God at age 65.
My goodness. Think about that. What does that say for us, though, Apostle? Let's look at today and where we are. We're talking about walking into the supernatural. Many of us want to walk in the supernatural, but yet we can't get past what I call the carnal status or the carnal state. So are we walking by faith, or are we walking by the type of faith that we're walking in? Is it what we see or what we cannot see? And I'm saying it that way because you got Christians, let's say it, carnal-minded, and those who think they're spiritual. As long as everything's going the way they want it to go, as far as they're concerned, they're walking by faith. But the minute the road gets a little rough, the going gets a little tough, the hills become a little hard to climb, where is their faith? I'm just saying.
When we look at this, it says to us, we've been worried about getting people to walk in holiness and walk in pureness when we really should have been introducing them to a faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean grab it and grab it. Touch it and believe it. Get the house on the hill. We should have been teaching and preaching and giving understanding that the day you begin a faith walk in God that will be better than the life you have already lived. Go ahead, Pastor Willow.
All right.
How can a lot of these preachers talk about a faith walk when they don't even walk by faith? They don't live by faith because they have no faith. I firmly believe that you cannot preach something or teach something that you do not experience yourself. There's a scripture I read in 1 Thessalonians, I believe about the first chapter, somewhere around about the fifth verse, it said that our preaching to you came not in word only, but power in the
Spirit
and with much assurance, meaning that we're talking about stuff we have lived, things we have encountered, and you've been able to see it. Many of these people today are not seeing preachers who are living this kind of faith. That's why people, if you will, are walking away from the body of Christ, because they don't see anybody who is having the faith to say that God is going to keep me no matter what the government does. God is going to move for me no matter what the finances say. God is going to provide for me no matter what's going on in my life. They don't see that, so how can they have somebody who will teach them how to do it?
I agree with that. Dr. Kibbe? I didn't want to cut her off. I needed her to come in with what she had to say. And this is basically what I'm saying. The walk of faith that we're experiencing in this day and age, and I'm talking about leadership especially. I mean, here we are. We're dealing with COVID-19, and I know there's a protocol in place. The government has called for us to be a certain way. But here is my challenge. How much of whatever it is the government is saying need we be obedient to? And then how much of what God says need we obey? Does that sound about right, ladies and gentlemen? I'm saying it from this perspective. We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we're aware of that. We'll recite the scriptures back and forth. We'll talk about by his stripes we are healed. And yet a tiny virus has pretty much paralyzed the church. Imagine if we had, the virus of faith or the virus of hope operating in our everyday lives. How many folk might have been healed and set free? How many folk might still be living today had we walked in the power of the walked in the supernatural of God? How many? And we all know somebody that passed away from. I'm not saying that we have to be super saints. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I would simply say this. Can we be crazy enough to trust the God of our salvation as opposed to the situation or circumstance that we're now experiencing? I'm just curious.
Okay, I'm going to throw this in. I'm going to throw this in and in rebuttal, but in the same truth that there are non-faith preachers, we cannot negate the word of God that says faith come by hearing.
Yep.
And hearing the word of God. And how can they hear without the preacher?
All right.
So even though there are some in our day and hour who are preaching without faith, but I'll even go further, we know there's a lot of preachers nowadays preaching without salvation, preaching without the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is go to seminary. All you got to do is go to seminary.
You said it right.
Some foolish church is going to take you in as a preacher.
Exactly.
They didn't ask, do you know Jesus? Do you talk to Jesus? What's your relationship with Jesus? All they know, they got a pastor that got a degree.
Reverend Doctor.
I have a degree, too. I went to the drugstore and brought some degree to put up under my arm. Hallelujah.
All right.
So, I want you to understand that degree don't make the preacher. But yet, the same time, there is somebody with the word of faith in their mouth that can bring us to where we need to be. I was just listening earlier today to my dear friend, Jesse Duplantis.
Uh-huh.
And here he is, one of our great faith teachers of today. And he said when he first got saved that he was moving out with the faith teaching. He said, but they began to teach about this tithe and first fruit and seed offering. He said, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. He said, as blessed as I am now. He said, I didn't believe nothing they were saying.
All right.
He said, I thought it was a scheme and a way to get broke money out of them. He said, but it wasn't until I got in the word of God for myself. And see, sometimes, and I hate to say it, I have seen people sit around the church waiting for the preacher to say what they needed him to say when they could have already gotten it if they would get in the word for themselves. So therefore, tonight, we see that Enoch walked out of his life of sin into a walk with God of faith that was so powerful till we really don't understand his walk. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11.
I was getting ready to say that.
And see, I don't want the revelation to get lost tonight, because when this thing really unveils, it's going to blow somebody's mind tonight.
Amen.
What's that revelation? Hebrews chapter 11. And what is it, verse number 5?
Or 6, one of the two.
Verse number 5.
All right, let's begin to read.
It says, by faith, Enoch was translated.
Hold it right there. The first two words told the story.
That's it.
What you are about to hear was done by faith. He didn't say with faith or because of faith. He said by faith. He said what you are getting ready to hear in your spiritual ear, it was done by faith. Faith did it. Faith made it happen. It was done by faith. Go ahead and read.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony.
Let's take a little. Now I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to hear your answers, then I'll come back. What made God take Enoch out of the earth? Since they were having such a wonderful faith walk together, why did he take Enoch out of the earth?
And I think this may help some people. It may not help many, but just a handful. There's a revelation in that. When you think about it, it was faith. Now, I know verse 6 of that same 11th chapter says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then verse 7 goes on to complete that sentence. But we want to stay with verse 5 for a minute. By faith, Enoch's faith pleased God to the place and to the point that God wanted Enoch near him. That's what I come up with. And think about what I'm saying here. When your walk with God pleases him to the point where he wants to be with us anyway, because we're his and he's ours. But when our walk pleases him, can you imagine how close you could be to the heart of God? Has any of us ever thought of that or given that any kind of consideration? Please God to the place and to the point where God took him. He didn't take him. He just, come on, son, I need you here next to me. I like your faith. I like what you're doing. Enoch, as a human being, only knows what in his limited mind what faith is. But he was willing to go above and beyond what he already knew to experience something he had never seen, thus having what we call the supernatural. Super being the key word in this thing.
I like two things that Hebrew said.
Mm-hmm.
Translated.
Mm-hmm.
Was not.
Mm-hmm.
Translated was and was not. Somebody talk.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning? He was, and then he was no more.
That's it. Not physically, anyway.
In the fact that it says he was transported, it kind of reminds me of Star Trek when I was a kid, how they could be beamed up. It was a beaming, and it's almost as if they were wasted away until they got to their destination. So that's how come you didn't see them anymore. And I believe that Enoch just had such an encounter with God that he vanished. It's just that simple. He vanished to be seen no more. He vanished.
And now when you say that, can I say this? It is the physical. See, I know the writer of Hebrews is trying to give us an illustration of a spiritual truth yet again. I mean, it's like, all right, 1 minute, it's a loved one, and I know it's slightly different, but just bear with me on this. Yesterday, I talked to Aunt Sally, and then I come back to talk to Aunt Sally today, and they tell me Aunt Sally's gone. Physical body is still there, but the spirit in that body is gone. So now I can't communicate with Aunt Sally because she no longer exists. She's gone. She's departed. She left. But what it's saying here, the writer's giving us the illusion there was no physical body to be found nowhere. He just, body, soul, and spirit, poof, like a puff of smoke. Now that is supernatural all by itself. That is supernatural. Because, I mean, the scripture, if I'm not mistaken, in Hebrews 9:27, doesn't it say it's appointed once for man to die? It's appointed once unto man to die. After that, the judgment. I mean, the principle in there is there had to have been a physical death. But in Enoch's case, there was none. Just a translation, transformation from what used to be natural to something that's now supernatural. His glorified body changed to a glorified body in the process. I believe that. But that's me.
But what is this thing with God, Jimmy Kim? What is this thing with God that he keeps putting folk away and won't tell nobody? He put Enoch away. He put Enoch away and won't tell nobody. He put Moses away and won't tell nobody. What is that all about?
Well, here's the thing you have to understand about God. God does not owe anyone an explanation.
That is the truth.
He can do what he wants to do simply because he's God. He doesn't have to explain himself. God, listen to me when I say this. God is not accountable to us. We are accountable to him. It's that simple. So God doesn't require to tell us nothing.
Can I show y'all tonight that God, isn't it strange that Enoch and Abraham are in that 11th chapter almost back-to-back, or it is back-to-back? But watch this. Enoch and Moses were taken. Watch it now, because they saw things that could not be handled with in that day and hour. Uh-oh. Now, for all you lovely Bible scholars and all that, I know you get ready to get mad with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would go and look in the book of Enoch,
mm-hmm,
it begins to describe to us that when Enoch walked out the flesh into the faith realm, he went into the supernatural and began to see things thousands of years before his time. I mean, after his time. He began to see thousands of years that he would never reach. Oh my God, I wish I had my eyes. Boy, I opened up this book of Enoch and show y'all some stuff that would just drive you crazy. But I'm telling you, then you look at Abraham. The Bible tells us right there in Hebrews that he started out following God. God was going to give him as natural possession. Said, but all of a sudden, he moves out in faith so much. Instead, he started looking for a city. He was no longer looking for land, looking for money, looking for food. He was no longer looking for clothes, the horses, chariots. It said he begins to look for a city which builder and maker was God, eternal begin to walk with God. So he left the earth realm and started walking in a supernatural realm, and he no longer had interest in the natural. He said, I want the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy. Y'all shouldn't have let me out the crazy house tonight. I want you to understand that these two men had a faith. They didn't have faith now, like we are being taught now. Oh, just speak the words of faith, and you're going to get the house. You're going to get the car. And I believe that. It does work. But when we talk about these two men tonight, they went beyond human receptability of faith and begin to see and do things that were beyond the human capacity. Matter of fact, it's the book of Romans that told us that Abraham walked out in faith with God, so he started talking like God. That he began to call those things that be not as though they were. Oh, my God. These men were walking in the supernatural while still on the earth. I'm not talking about just healing and deliverance. I'm talking about a life spent in God. Matter of fact, you don't see, we don't have no writing about how Enoch doubted God and Enoch almost messed up. It says that 300 years later, God took him. Kimmy Kim, you come on in. I ain't heard from you in a while.
Well, you both said it all. I mean, when you have a supernatural experience with the Lord, it's an amazing feeling. So I can only imagine that relationship when he was walking with God at the age of 65. And so when you had asked, like, is God accountable or why? But I agree with Pastor Whitlow. God, he is God by himself. He is the owner of earth, hell, and heaven. And so we are accountable for him as well. And so with that is that, as I group them all together, walking with God in a supernatural way, it is an amazing feeling. And there are times where God will reveal information to me, and sometimes that information can be quite interesting and challenging for me. And so walking with him in a spiritual way is when you gain intimacy. It's when you start really trusting him. It's when you really start understanding that living on earth is just temporary, because at the end of the day, when all of this is over, we all will have our day with God in the judgment. And so that's why it's important that we don't focus on the pastors who aren't really doing their job. That's their man. God tells us not to focus on that. God tells us we still won't have an excuse, because, you know, he shows us the signs. He gives us the rain, the sunshine. You see the animals. You see the birds being fed on a daily basis, and they come back in the summer. So we won't have any excuse, even though we do see some pastors who do tend to not have the salvation, but they tempt the gospel. So with that being said, walking with God is a personal intimacy with God. So you must be responsible for your own relationship with God. You can't hold anyone accountable for your relationship with God but yourself, because that's why he gave us a free will. Free will, I really don't think he gave us free will, but it is free will. Because there are times he will force you into situations where you want to know this Lord. And so with that being said, I love this. Walking with God is so amazing. And it took me some knock in the head and some falling on my knees and some bruises. But I tell you, those who don't understand, it's a beautiful feeling to know that you're walking with God. You feel so much secure. You have so much peace in your life. And it's a two-way relationship. You must do your part as well.
Listen, let me throw this at you. And this is for anybody. Y'all can just come on. We've been talking about this supernatural move that's coming, and we haven't seen it in a fullness yet. Could it be that this is the missing element that has been sitting right in front of us, but we're not tapping into it the way God wants us to tap into it? Somebody talk to me.
Well, let me throw this at you. We've actually seen it, but we've seen it in part. And every one of us on this phone can attest to it. And the reason why I say that, I can go back and think of services I've been in when people who have come in that were physically ill received their healing. I recall, and I'm going to say this with you, this is why I say that that level of supernatural, and I recall prior to this particular service in North Carolina, I don't think I was more than a year and a half, not even quite 2 years old in ministry. But I had listened to the likes of the Lester Summeralls, the Kenneth Hagins, the Kenneth Copelands, and people who fit that description, those who were teaching faith in that era and in that time. And I had believed strongly in the word of faith at that particular time. And so I would, you know, just say, God, I need to know how faith works. And God would begin talking. But anyway, getting to past that to the story, this particular service I was in, mother brought a little girl up because she said her daughter was having problems with her ear. Now, here is an amazing thing, and many of you know who Catherine Kuhlman is. How is it that God can use us with a physical defect to heal somebody else who might possibly have that same defect? I've always had a loss of hearing in my right ear for as long as I can remember. Doctors say it's at 40%. I can hear, but not crystal clear. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Mother brought the daughter up and, you know, told me that she couldn't hear in her right ear. And I put my fingers in her ear and began praying for her, praying the word of faith. Little did I know that while the mother never told me that she herself had a problem with her hearing. After we finished praying, the mother and daughter will start walking back toward their seat. And the mother turns around. And when I say turns around, I said, what's the matter, ma'am? Says, is there something else that God needs to do? She says, no. And then she began to tell me the story of how she had an issue in her left ear. And right now, at that particular time, she could hear clearly. So we've seen the supernatural in part, but we have not had the full experience. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and I'm going to say that I'm going back to the question I asked.
Uh-huh.
Have we seen, and I'm going to throw a little piece in there, are we missing the truth about faith that these you men walked into a daily supernatural relationship of faith? Have we missed the main ingredient whereby we are supposed to be seeing the supernatural daily, not just every now and then? How did we miss it? And it seems
I think that you answered it earlier yourself when you begin to inquire about preachers not teaching this faith, to have this supernatural encounter. And let me go even further. When the likes of some of these aforementioned ministers would talk about faith, they always used it in the capacity of prosperity.
Yes.
And so because of that, people have rejected that being what faith was about. Because
well,
here's reality. To many of us, faith is only about getting saved and having what is necessary to be healed, not for the purpose of prosperity, which has been taught for so long. So it is a good possibility that we have missed it because it didn't sound like what we expected it to sound like.
Well, I'm going to throw this in, and it's not a rebuttal to what you're saying, Apostle Willis, because all of them did not teach faith for the level of prosperity. I will say this for sure. There are a couple. We're not going to start picking and choosing who did what. But I believe that in their opening and in their beginning, and when in the time that I began to hear what they were saying, I trusted that they were talking about the purity of produce, because the late Dr. Frederick Price, I thought him, people like him taught the purity of faith, and then later showed how faith can be used in every aspect. So yeah, I partially agree with you about the prosperity message for many of them, but there were a handful that taught the purity of faith, and I like to say the God kind of faith.
If you go back in the day, somebody said they wasn't gonna call no name, but I am. If you go back in the day where Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen,
mm-hmm.
R.W. Shambaugh,
uh-huh.
If you go back, even with Kenneth Hagin himself.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were deliverance preachers.
That's right.
They taught faith healing, faith deliverance, faith to bring you out. That Hagin and Roberts didn't really get into the prosperity teaching thing until way
80s.
Over in that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Oral Roberts came out with that book about seed faith. And then from seed faith, they all went crazy trying to tell us what faith was. And after a while, it just became all materialistic. But what I'm saying tonight to us is that there is a level of faith.
All right.
Beyond what we have been doing with faith, there's another level that God wants us to come to where we can walk the supernatural on a daily basis. Not every now and then, so while. And I'm going to tell you what else is stupid. Somebody get a new car. Talking about, oh, that was the supernatural. That wasn't no supernatural. If that's all a God can do in the supernatural, then we serve a mighty pitiful God.
And a mighty limited God.
Because if you work right and go to the car lot, you can get you a job on the mere fact of your work record.
That's right.
I remember right here in New Haven, all the people had to do was go to the car lot and tell them they worked at Winchester. You signed the paper, didn't have to give them no money. They give you the key, and you go about your business. The supernatural?
No.
No. That was a good reputable company that when you would go to a car lot, you could get a car with no money down. All you had to do was sign the papers, and they would receive your money later.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting you is, what I'm getting you is that we have used faith because of misguided teaching. We have used faith as a Santa Claus and a bellhop, and we even involved God with it. Let everything come out of our mouth. God's supposed to do it, and he's supposed to do it overnight, or there's something wrong with God. And God is saying to us, you're worried about getting another car. I can't even get you to spend time with me in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, where we got faith at is not where God got faith at.
That's right.
Remember the story of Jesus and the disciples when Peter saw the fig tree had withered away. I'm cutting through the chase in so many words. When Peter got to rejoicing and caring about the fig tree being dried up, Jesus told Peter, you should have believed that yesterday. Because when I spoke it, it was already so.
That's right.
But then that's talking about physicality. When Jesus began to tell them about supernatural acts, he said, you can speak to a mountain. Now, which one of y'all in this line can actually go to a mountain and speak to it and doesn't get up moving?
It ain't going nowhere because your faith ain't like that at that level.
But then we must also understand he was using an analogy. He was telling us the thing that looked big to us. You got enough power with a mustard seed type.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith is so powerful, even at that level, you can speak to mountains and just be moved. You can tell a sycamore tree kind of situation to pluck itself up. Now go over there and be planted, which means you got authority in faith to do supernatural acts. But we waste more time crying over bills and trips and what we can't do that we can't see. The supernatural is locked up in our faith.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, I didn't come to whistle Dixie. I'm not being argument, but that God gave me such a revelation on this that our faith, we're not going to see the full measure of supernatural. We're not going to see the full measure of supernatural finance. We're not going to see the full measure of healing and deliverance because we got too much flesh in the way. Let's look at it again. Age 65, Enoch left the flesh and began to walk with faith with God. 300 years later, God said, boy, I got to get you out of here. You've been walking this faith thing so strong and so hard, you're seeing too much stuff. Let me get you out of here. Now watch this though. But because he walked in the supernatural, watch this now, turn around and tell Enoch, what I'm going to do for you though, I'm going to take your son and put a supernatural life on him. He's not going to die till he sees the Christ child. Oh, my, y'all just, let me get off this line. Let me get off this line. Y'all done mess around and put a nut on the phone tonight. He said, you get ready to go. He said, but I'm going to bless your child and put the supernatural on his life that he shall not die until he sees the Christ child. And we know when Christ was brought to the temple, amen, he was way over an age away. Everybody won't talk about Simeon and Anna, but he was around still too. I'm telling you, when we really catch this, when we really catch what the supernatural is and what God really want to do, we're gonna come out. We're going to come out of this physicality thinking. We're going to come out of this disregarding thinking, this here human thinking, even in our walk with God. I love it, and I use it for a long time, that we are not human beings having a supernatural experience, but we are supernatural beings trying to master the human experience. I want you to understand that once we came into Christ, Christ was trying to take us back to that supernatural state that he had Adam and Eve in.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we don't seem to want to tear away from the flesh long enough for God to anoint us and give us that kind of relationship.
All right.
Go ahead. I know somebody want to talk.
All right. There's only room for one at the mic, y'all. Come on. Silence. Oh, Lord.
Well, one thing I will say to anybody that's listening tonight, this lesson tonight, and you might well know, we'll be pitching at it again next week, but I want you to understand this. This lesson tonight, this podcast tonight, you can't hear us tonight and think you got it, and you get ready to swing into the supernatural. Nah, David, you got to make up in your mind, I'm not getting locked in to the flesh realm ever again. All I want is to walk in the realm of faith with God. That supernatural place. Never mind the house and the car. Can I throw one more thing out there? Why in the world would God have it written in there, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be an add-on. If we're not supposed to be seeking our faith to the supernatural, then why would we be seeking the kingdom first? And because we're seekers of the kingdom, the house, the car, the money, the wife, the whatever we're believing for naturally will come as we yield ourselves more to God.
Can I add to that? Seeking first the kingdom of God to me is learning the standard it will take to live in the realm that he has provided. When you talk about the supernatural, our God is super and natural at the same time. So why, and the Bible tells us to be therefore imitators of God as dear children, why would we not want to imitate him in our walk? We do better in his kingdom when we walk. All right, let's say it like this. Y'all know the phrase, when in Rome, what does it say? Do as the Romans do. So if we're seeking the kingdom, in the kingdom, it is a supernatural walk, a walk of faith. So why would we think that we could seek his kingdom and be in our flesh or be in our naturalness as human beings? Does that make sense to anybody?
It made a lot of sense what you just said. And this is what
really
I'm trying to say. This is what I'm trying to convey to us tonight. That we got to come out of this, we got to come out of this natural thinking and start getting locked into God in such a way that he takes control of our flesh and begins to show us how to control it. In this supernatural realm that we are, but it really is the supernatural. So in essence, we're searching for something that he has already put in us. We just
right.
need to let it out.
Let it work. Do what it do. Just let it do what it do.
Also, what's going over there? I know you're thinking. I can pick.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking, and there's so much that has been said between you and Bishop Elect that I'm sitting here saying, "Well, what is there left for me to really say?"
You know you got something to say, don't you try?
I just think that, again, it's important that if people want to walk with God, I think they have to consider something, and you covered it earlier, that Enoch decided to no longer walk in the manner of sin, but in a manner of righteousness. And so to see the supernatural, you've got to forsake sin and by faith walk the walk of righteousness in order to see it. That's all, and it's really simplistic. That's how you please God, when you decide to walk the way God would have you to walk. That's all.
All right.
Well, I want to say also that it does please God when you walk with him as well. And walking with him, it's like nothing that you will ever experience. It's a relationship that is so special and dear to me. It's a necessity for me, because when you're walking with God and you walk with him, he talks with you. He corrects you. He gives you, I'm telling you, there are times he'll tell me do this and I do that, and something happens. Had I not listened to him, I could probably have been in that incident. So, I mean, he gives you the wisdom. He gives you, everything that you need, because, honestly, it's not it to have the materialistic things on earth. It's good to have. Don't get me wrong, but when you seek those things first and not God, God becomes a jealous God. And so that's why he says to seek him, the kingdom, and all of his righteousness, because he knows more about life than anyone else. He knows you better than you know yourself. I know as for me, I can truly say I used to be the one that wants to have the finer things in life. I need to have this, I need to make this. But those things never made me happy. When I gave my life over to him, I became sold out, S-O-U-L-E-D, out for him, truly sold out. I'm telling you, it's like walking with a person who is this. So amazing. He is so amazing. He corrects me. He talks to me. I don't feel alone. Of course, there are times when I, sometimes may walk on water and look back and take my eyes off of him. But he still is faithful. He doesn't hold that accountable for me. So I repent and get back in line. And so that's why I wanted to make a statement to those who don't believe and who have problem with, you know, understanding how to walk with the Lord. It's a growing in grace. You don't get here overnight. I've been in church all of my life. I mean, I have wonderful people in my life who are pastors and deacons, but they cannot get me saved. I had to make that decision myself. So when I renewed my relationship with God back in 1998, even though I had, you know, got my baptism at 12 and I felt that anointing, but I didn't know what that was. I didn't nourish it. So when you don't nourish something, you lose it. No, you don't lose it, but you don't grow from it. So when I regained my relationship back in 1998, God showed me so many things spiritually. You know, he gives you spiritual vision that is unlike any other. Spiritual vision is so amazing. He gives you things that he will allow you to see, and it is so real, as John was saying in Revelation. He will give you those revelations, but you have to walk after the Spirit, as it says in Romans. Romans, the whole book of Romans is amazing. So if you focus on Romans and read the Word, he will talk to you as you're, you know, learning him more and more. Bible is the only book that the author is talking to you, and that is so amazing. Each time I may read this scripture, and maybe a year later, I get a different revelation. So you can never say I graduate from the Bible, because you never will. So walking with God is so, so amazing. So that is my personal testimony.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question you said. You talked about coming into God and being nourished and all that. So then, and I know this would only be a figment of the imagination answer, then how did Enoch go from the flesh straight into the spirit without all that nourishing and everything? Well, how in the world is that?
Mm. You know what? I would not take. I can answer, but I can't answer. And what I mean by that is, when you go from the carnal state of life into the spiritual state of life, the transition is so quick. The transition is so fast. Transition is so precise. In that moment that you transition from natural to supernatural, you are automatically in that realm. Our issue is we come out of that realm almost as fast as we walked into it. A good example, let's take Peter on the water. When he said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come." In that instant, Peter translated or transferred from the natural to the supernatural. And it was when he allowed the carnality of his mind to cause him to recognize his situation, the circumstance, and the conditions. Now Peter goes back out of the supernatural, back into the natural. Because when he walked in the supernatural, he walked on the water. But when he came back into the natural, he began to sink.
Let's go back to Hebrews 11.
Okay.
And let's read it nice and carefully.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that pleased God. Before he had this testimony.
Before his translation, God testified, "I'm pleased with his faith."
Mm-hmm. God was pleased with him. He didn't have to see that. He went straight into the kingdom because God was pleased with him. Yeah.
Well, we keep saying him, but actually, the scripture is God was pleased with his faith. Actually, God was pleased with the spirit of faith, not his physicality, but how he allowed him to go out of his faith. And I'm going to prove it in the next verse by letting Whitlow go ahead and read.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Watch this now. People have been using that scripture for years, but without it's impossible to please him, but they have never connected to the verse before. God is telling, it was telling us, if you can learn to have a relationship with me, like Enoch, I'll be pleased with you and translate you also.
Mm-hmm.
Now we must understand. Translation and death is two separate things. Because he said he translated him that he could not see death. So don't start talking about, well, we all going to be translated. No. He said he was translated, and death had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
So there is something about walking in supernatural faith that will even escape a death exit. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. This might be too much for Tuesday night. Maybe I won't come back to it next week. This is like Sunday morning teaching here. Well, you can work at it for a few weeks, and they might have it, they might not. Then you come back for a few more weeks. But anybody see what I'm trying to tell you? And then and seventh verse? That seventh verse, let us know. What would be that seventh verse again?
Verse seven.
No, what
come on,
you
pastor.
See that? Huh?
Okay.
Can somebody read that seventh verse?
Wait a minute. Let me read it because we are actually out of time. Verse seven. And
verse 7 says, by
go ahead.
No, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the safe house.
He
condemned the world and became heir to the of the righteousness, which is by faith.
He said that the man saw things ahead of time and condemned the world. Noah was preaching about end time and nobody knew what he was talking about. I mean, not Noah. Enoch talking about end time stuff way before there was an end time. And he talked about it as though it was happening right then. I'm telling you, when you start talking about the supernatural and faith and what our faith is really supposed to be doing, we're a far cry from where God is. What's our time here? I believe
it's 12:02. We are now officially into Wednesday morning.
Alfred touched me on the shoulder. I want y'all to understand that we will come back with this again on next week and go a separate and try to open this up to you where you can begin to walk in the supernatural on a daily basis, not just here and there and by and by and all that kind of stuff. God wants us to grab hope of faith and walk with him in such a way that it will baffle those that are just walking in the flesh. Well, I don't have time tonight to get a last statement from everybody, but I want you to know this emphatically. If you are going through hell, don't stop. If you're catching it, don't hold it. I want you to know you need to go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. God has greater things in store for you. The Lord bless you. Until next Tuesday at 10:30, we say shalom. Let me say quickly before we go off, please keep overseer Mary Gail McPherson and her family in prayer. Her sister passed on yesterday, so let us keep them in prayer. Kimmy Kim, let that track do the bounce, do the shake, and let it roll.
Not be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk with us in every situation, whatever you may be going through. Don't be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk with you. Mm-hmm. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Coming from the Lord, and the Lord is not shade upon thy